Eric Metaxas here. Please join me in a life-saving mission to set Sudanese slaves free through Christian Solidarity International. Since 1995, CSI has freed more than 100,000 women and children from years of bondage and abuse. Your $250 gift frees, feeds, and heals these captives and sets them on a path to a new life in freedom. Please help us free another slave now. Call 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522, or click the CSI banner at MetaxasTalk.com, MetaxasTalk.com. Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. We'll get you from point A to point B. But if you're looking for point C, well, buddy, you're on your own. But if you wait right here, in just about 2 minutes, the bus to point C will be coming right by. And now, here's your Ralph Cramden of the airwaves, Eric Metaxas!
Alvin, it's Pride Month.
Pride Month.
Yeah, I choose not to celebrate Pride Month only because I think it's unbelievably stupid and arrogant of people try to shove their thinking down the throats of every American. Isn't that sweet?
Yeah, but I thought that Pride went before destruction and went before the fall. And
you believe what that book says. I think it's like Kwanzaa. Like everybody was told you're supposed to, you know, celebrate Kwanzaa. Nobody took it seriously. This is Kwanzaa times 30. So I just want to end on a happy note that I'm going to take a pass. Listen, we've got so much today. We're talking in a moment for the hour to Naomi Wolf. Very interesting. I don't want to spoil it, but you'll see. That's just in a moment coming up. If I sound tired and nasal, it's probably because I'm tired and nasal. That's actually the reason I sound tired and nasal. No, last night, I'm in California. And as you know, Alvin, because you watched it, I did an event with Jack Hibbs at his church Wednesday night, conversation with him, talking about my book, Letter to the American Church. And that church is unbelievable. Jack Hibbs's church it's Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. And you can watch it online, but he is a phenomenon. Some people you think, wow, I'm so grateful for this man. I'm so grateful to God for creating him and raising him up to be a voice in this generation. So last night I was at Jack Hibbs's church. It was tremendous. It will be online if it's not already online, but I think you'll enjoy it. We'll post it on my social media. Here's a good opportunity to remind you to sign up for my newsletter at ericmetaxas.com so you can get this stuff kind of teed right up and you don't have to go looking for it.
So if I can make a quick comment, because the whole shebang, the whole conference was centered around your book, Letter to the American Church. But I met Jack Hibbs in person at the NRB because you interviewed him there. And he is as nice and as sweet and as genuine as he is when you see him at his website, at the Chino Hills Church website. He's great.
I hate to tell you, that's all an act. Behind the scenes, he's a conniving, vicious. No, it is nice when you meet somebody and you realize this is who they are. They're really this nice and humble, and he's so sweet. And it is that itself is an encouragement. So he really is that way. So
you guys were a good balance for each other.
Last night, you know, we had sat down, we had a conversation, and it was wonderful because his church has a huge reach. I mean, first of all, it's a gigantic church, but also a lot of people watch online. And so Letter to the American Church is getting out there. And I just think, like, you know, if Americans read this book, it has to have an effect. I believe God called me to write it. I don't just say that kind of thing lightly, that we need a course correction and that we've been drifting in the same direction as the German church in the 30s, which, of course, was one of the greatest disasters in history. What happened? The abdication of the church to speak against evil and to say, not yet. We don't want to be political. That led to ultimately the death camps and every other kind of horror. And that's basically what I say is happening now, except We're dealing with globalism. We're dealing with critical race theory. We're dealing with transgender. We're dealing with open borders and fentanyl and drug trafficking cartels taking on. We're dealing with innumerable nightmares. But will the church wake up? Will the church understand it is the role of the American church to speak up? Now, plenty of people outside the church understand that they should speak up. But the church is particularly guilty if people who say, I'm a Christian, don't speak up. So that's kind of what we talked about last night.
And I just want to warn people that all this crazy stuff that they've done, if we don't do something, the next thing you know, they might steal an election. So
that will never happen. Oh, Albin, don't be so cynical that they would steal. Like, no.
Come on. They don't do that.
Never do that other
stuff. But
they would never do that to cling to power. No. Okay, so here's what we have coming up. So we got Naomi Wolf coming up. In hour two, we're talking to our friend Steve Strang. He has a new book out. We've spoken to him recently, but we did a segment with him talking about the quote-unquote baptism in the Holy Spirit. Very interesting, controversial to some. And then we talked to one of our sponsors, Tim Eaton with Nutramedics. That guy, all I can tell you is stay tuned. He's the real deal. And there's a reason we have the partners we do on this program. Nutramedics, I get all of my nutraceuticals from them, my vitamin C, my vitamin D, my magnesium, and all this stuff.
And they're extra good if you use the code Eric.
And if you use the code Eric, you get 20% off of everything if you use the code Eric. But I use their melatonin. I use all their stuff because their stuff is excellent, because we can get it at a discount with the code Eric. But the most important thing, the reason they're a sponsor on this program, is they give half of their profits to missions organizations. These guys, you'll see. Anyway, that's an hour or two coming up. We have more good news. Christian Solidarity International, we had done in the month of May, we did this fundraiser to free slaves in Sudan. And we, as of yesterday, the total, it looks like the final total was $82,000 that you, the listeners to this program, gave to CSI. I'm so grateful. We're going to be doing a random drawing for three grand prizes. Whatever you gave, your name goes in a hat, and we'll draw three grand prizes, and we'll mail you signed copies of our books and all that stuff, and swag, T-shirts and hats and stuff. But I just want to say thank you for living out your faith, because ultimately that's what we talked about last night with Jack Hibbs, that, you know, scripture says faith without works is dead. If you are not living out your faith, folks, I don't want to scare you, or do I? If you're not living out your faith, maybe it's because you don't have any faith. Maybe it's because you think you have faith. But the scripture is clear, warning us that if you're not living out your faith, then you actually have no faith. So you think, oh, I'm saved by faith. Yeah, if you have faith, you're saved by faith. But if you don't have faith, if you think you have it, but according to the scripture, you're doing nothing about it, which proves you don't, then you need to think about what you've missed. And so that's what we talked about with Jack Hibbs last night. And something like CSI, it's an opportunity to say, you know what? I believe God has given me what he's given me to bless others. And so, of course, we got to take care of ourselves and our families and so on and so forth. But he gives us an opportunity to do something with our money, with our time, with our voice, with our, what do we have? And that's
and just as an asterisk real quick, Eric, $82,250 to free a slave. You do the math. It's 328 human beings were freed from slavery and set up in a life of freedom. That's incredible. Thank you.
It's beyond belief, folks. It is beyond belief. God bless you. God bless you for participating. Before we go to talk to Naomi Wolf, we should also mention tomorrow, Taking Back the Rainbow, to celebrate Pride Month. We're talking to Rabbi Kurt Schneider about Taking Back the Rainbow. Really, really brave, wonderful conversation with him, Taking Back the Rainbow, which belongs to God.
Yeah, it's if you go to takingtherainbowback.com, you'll see exactly what they're doing this month and next month and all that good stuff.
Takingtherainbowback.com. And we don't want to forget to mention therealfaucimovie.com. The Real Anthony Fauci is a book, but there's a movie, therealanthonyfaucimovie.com. You can see it for free. I saw it. I recommend it. It is absolutely eye-opening. We've got to educate ourselves. There's a lot going on. We need to understand. We've been lied to about the vaccines, lied to horribly. Horribly, human lives have been destroyed. We've been lied to about January 6th. We've been lied to about the election. This is an unprecedented moment in our lives and in American history, and we need to be awake to it. We need to be alive to it. So go to realanthonyfaucimovie.com. When we come back, Naomi Wolf. Yes, stick around.
I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of iconic American brands selling us out to appease radical leftists. But it's not just beer and sneakers. For years, big mobile companies have been dumping millions into leftist causes, and we had to take it because another option didn't exist. Well, now it does. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offers dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the best possible service in your area without the woke propaganda pushed by people trying to destroy this country. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, our military veterans, and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Metaxas, M-E-T-A-X-A-S, or call them 978-PATRIOT. Get free activation today with the offer code Metaxas, spelled M-E-T-A-X-A-S. Ask about their coverage guarantee while you're there. That's patriotmobile.com/Metaxas. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. In a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. You'll see transparent pricing on each coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. This new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. You're going to love this free new tool they've added, legacypminvestments.com, legacypminvestments.com. Check it out.
Folks, welcome back. I promised that I would be talking to Naomi Wolf, and guess what? Promises made, promises kept. I coined that term. Naomi, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always so nice to be with you.
It's fun to talk to you about a lot of stuff. I want to talk to you about why you're reading the Geneva Bible and some of the things that you've observed in reading Exodus. Some really just delightful stuff. But before we get into to that, I just wanted more of a general update, I guess, from you, if you have anything you want to share about, you know, what's going on with the Pfizer stuff and the all the stuff that you have dug into so wonderfully and bravely and diligently. So what let's just start there. Any thoughts you have with regard to any of that stuff?
Yeah, so much has happened since we last spoke about that. Well, on a political level, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton had prepared to investigate Pfizer for malfeasance. And I note that he's just been impeached by the Texas legislature. So I don't know, you know, what's going on behind the scenes about that. But I am noticing that you know, we don't know why Tucker Carlson was booted from Fox exactly. There could have been any number of reasons, from Dominion, his coverage of the Dominion voting issue, to his coverage of January 6th. But he was also very upfront about Pfizer and about the danger of vaccines. And he let me talk about the danger of vaccines, the mRNA injections, too. So these are two very, very, you know, high level, powerful people who are being targeted. Again, I'm a journalist. I don't have a smoking gun, but it's really interesting because Paxton was the first AG to go after Pfizer. Let's see. We've had several new reports out. As your audience knows, I've got a group of 3,500 doctors and scientists who are going through the tens of thousands of documents released under court order by the Food and Drug Administration against their will. They had asked the court to keep these documents hidden for 75 years. And your audience knows that we've found in those documents that, you know, nothing less than the greatest crime against humanity in recorded history, with a special focus on ruining reproduction. And the most recent report, Report 72, shows that Pfizer actually discarded thousands of vaccinated subjects in November of 2020 who had COVID, so that they could say that the injection was effective and did better than the placebo group. But the placebo, if they hadn't discarded all those people with COVID and just dropped them from the trial, the placebo group and the injected group would have had pretty much the same number of COVID infections and been about 19% effective instead of what they claimed, 95%.
So I like when we describe things in detail, but then we have to kind of go back and remind people what we're talking about. We're talking about lying.
Right.
We're talking about a level of corruption and evil that is almost unprecedented. This is a level of lying to the public that is so despicable, so evil, that it beggars belief. It's difficult for us, and it's certainly difficult for me, to comprehend, A, that people would do this, B, that they would be allowed to do this, that you wouldn't have everyone screaming in a free culture, theoretically, where we're able to do something about this. And that even now, as you've put this information forward, just tremendous silence from all kinds of media outlets, not even interested in maybe there's something to this. That's, to me, kind of the shocking news, basically.
Yeah. And, you know, and I agree with you. I get in the weeds, but then I do need to step back so people really understand how massive this is. So just remember that starting in November 2020, there was a big rollout of this injection. Millions and billions of dollars of taxpayer money were spent telling you to overcome your hesitancy to take it. Our entire White House, all the way up to the president, badgered and harassed you to take it. News outlets were completely bought up in the service of telling you to take it. And the FDA, meaning the White House, and Pfizer knew from the very beginning that the injection was pretty much no better than chance, and or no better than the placebo, meaning people who didn't get the injection. And they got their claims to efficacy by dropping from the study people who had been injected who got sick with COVID. And to remind everyone, as our author does, subsequent to that, and people up the chain of command at the FDA, you know, knew this and lied, you know, colluded in covering up the fact that the injection didn't stop anyone from getting COVID unless you drop from the trial all the people who got COVID. And that basically the last people left were 8 people who were injected and 172 people in the placebo group. And on the basis of that, in November of 2020, they claimed that this was a safe and effective vaccine. And you had to lose your job. Your kids couldn't go to school. You couldn't join the army. You know, you had to leave the military. You had to leave being a pilot, all the things, if you didn't go along with this massive, massive lie orchestrated from the start. And it also meant that all of those deaths, because, you know, there are 1,223 deaths in 3 months in the Pfizer documents, many of them within a day or two after the injection, the people who tolerated those deaths because they claimed that the risk benefit analysis, you know, in a greater level saved everyone from COVID, knew that they were lying, that they were killing people and maiming people, knowing that the injection did not save people from COVID.
Okay. So we've got a couple of things going on here. A, the so-called vaccine is a joke. It doesn't work. That's number one. That would be enough, you know, to shoot people, because you can't even believe that they're lying, that you've got to do this thing but then they know this thing doesn't work. Sheer lunacy. But the second piece, which is more evil, is that not only does it not work, it causes unbelievable harm in 1,000 directions to human beings who willingly, naively, innocently said, yes, we will take this. Everyone's saying we've got to take this for the greater good. Those people were used and abused and harmed and continue this minute to be harmed. And when you call this, you know, the greatest crime in the history of humanity, ladies and gentlemen, do you understand if that is not a preposterous exaggeration? Do you understand what those words mean? If that's true, the greatest crime, it is something that is, you know, people talk, Naomi, about something like a biblical proportions, you know, like the flood or something beyond anything, unprecedented. That's what we're talking about. And right now we're in a position of playing catch up because most people are not perceiving this. Most people don't get this. Most people are just going on with their lives, not understanding. I mean, it is a little bit like the death camps when we began to uncover like, oh, look what the Nazis have done. They have murdered millions and millions and millions of innocents, of civilians. Look what they've done. It's a level of evil that it's almost impossible to process, basically. It takes decades to process how evil it is. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's so interesting to me is, as a cultural critic, is that right now, as more and more evidence, you know, is hard to ignore, even in the world of legacy media with all of its lies, the narrative I'm hearing in kind of liberal elite land is we did the best with the information we had at the time. But what my team has found with Report 72 is that they didn't do, that is not true. In no way is it true. All the things, the masking, the vaccine passports, the destruction of our unified society into a tier society based on discrimination, the job losses, you know, the athletes dropping dead, all of it was based on a lie. All of it was only possible because Pfizer dropped all the people, virtually all the people who got COVID with the injection from the trial. The FDA knew, the FDA, you know, colluded, the White House knew.
Look, they have to say something. So when they say we did the best we could, that's very similar, ladies and gentlemen, to at the Nuremberg trial. They said we were just following orders. Don't you understand? We were just following orders. Goebbels said it. They all said this. Eichmann said it. We're just following orders. They have to say something, but we have to call them on their lie. What they're saying is as despicable, as monstrous as anything in history. And it is difficult for us, I keep saying, to process it, but process it we must. Very important. We're talking to Naomi Wolf. We'll talk about more cheerful things when we come back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Please go to ericmetaxas.com, sign up for the newsletter so you can share this video with your friends and enemies. We'll be right back.
Don't be afraid to care.
Are you tired of not getting a good night's sleep? Well, my friend Mike Lindell has created the perfect solution. He didn't just stop at the pillow. He also created the Giza Dream Bed Sheets. Made from the world's best cotton called Giza, these sheets are ultra soft and breathable, yet extremely durable. And now for a limited time, you can get 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets with prices starting as low as $29.98. These sheets come in a variety of sizes and colors and have a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Take advantage of this amazing offer. Go to MyPillow.com. And click on the radio podcast square and use promo code Metaxas at checkout. You can also find deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the MyPillow 2.0 mattress topper and MyPillow towel sets. Don't wait any longer to get the best sleep of your life. Take advantage of this amazing offer. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square and use promo code Eric at checkout. Don't wait any longer to get the best sleep of your life. Call 800-978-3057 or go to MyPillow.com now and use promo code Eric.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful at lowering or eliminating
pain? I'm often asked that question. Just the other night, I was asked that question. Well, the owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal. And I agree with them. And the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients. Yes, 100% drug-free ingredients. And each one of them helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. That's the point. So approaching from four different angles may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. If you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the 3-week quick start discounted to only $19.95 to see if it'll work for you. It has worked for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. I'm one of them. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference.
Welcome back. We're talking to Naomi Wolf. Naomi, if people want to find you, tell folks where they can find you, because I want people to follow you and to know what you're doing.
Thank you. Well, you can find all of the reports from the Pfizer documents for free on dailyclout.io, but we also have a book of them. And I'm sorry, I'm going to leave my seat for just to physically show you, which I've not been able to do in the past.
There it is.
This
the book.
Is Pfizer's research analysis reports. And this, I smiled before the break, Eric, when you said, you know, share this with your friends and your enemies, because I actually understand that people are giving this book to their doctors, you know, to their kids, their adult children who called them crazy and called them conspiracy theorists, you know, all the people who dismiss their concerns. And so do that. And you can do that by going to Amazon and ordering the Pfizer documents analysis reports. And you can find me on Substack as well.
Well, so it's dailyclout.io.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Clout, C-L-O-U-T. Like Babe Ruth was the Kaiser of clout, C-L-O-U-T, clout. Daisy Clout. Clout.io.
Dailyclout.io.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, they can find this book. Folks, you're living in historic times, for good or for ill, but we want you to be awake to what's happening. So, Naomi, to some extent, you're one of those people who, in processing this looks like satanic evil that has been unleashed on the world, it has turned you logically toward the good, toward God. You're reading the Bible publicly, talking about it, and I'm really interested in a lot of that. But also, you have, for some reason, gravitated toward the Geneva Bible. So tell us about that. What is it about the Geneva Bible in particular that appealed to you?
Yeah. Well, it's really true the way you summarize the reason that I began to, you know, try to find the most faithful translation. And then ultimately, you know, I also went back to the Hebrew. And it is because doing this work every day, seeing what human beings have done to other human beings, it does explode all of your categories, right? Even, you know, even as the granddaughter of a woman who lost 9 brothers and sisters in the Holocaust, even being kind of Jewish, you know, with that legacy, even that couldn't prepare me for just, you know, the details, what I've been witnessing. This is a mass grave. They've made the planet a mass grave, and we're only going to see the dimensions of it in the years to come. But specifically seeing things like, you know, one of our reports shows that they knew that they were causing spontaneous abortions and miscarriages. And then they passed that report on April 20th, 2021 to the White House. And 3 days later, Rochelle Walensky gave a White House press conference saying to pregnant women to inject themselves with the mRNA vaccine. And she had this in hand, right?
But don't eat sushi or drink champagne, whatever you do.
Exactly.
And only smoke one pack of cigarettes a day, because, you know, the fetus, very, very sensitive, could be affected, but definitely get the experimental vaccine, quote unquote.
So to see like examples of such a demonic interference in human family, human integrity, you know, the most sacred things we have, babies, you know, intimacy, childbirth, lactation, it was vertiginous. And, you know, as I've written in an earlier essay, you and I have spoken about, I began to feel that, you know, an evil larger than the human was at work. And so I began to think, well, if evil is mustering this much kind of impressiveness and resiliency, it must be aimed at something good. And so paradoxically, I ended up believing, not ended up, it's a journey, but currently I believe in God more literally than I did before all this happened, because look at his enemies, you know, like they're very.
But it's pure logic. I mean, look, this happened to me in 1988. I read M. Scott Peck, this Harvard psychiatrist, wrote a book called The People of the Lie, dealing with evil from a psychiatric point of view and sort of solving for X and saying some cases there was no other category for what I was seeing. He says that this was evil. It seemed like personal demonic evil. And if you allow for that, then of course you say, well, okay, then if that's real, then maybe God would be real. It's perfectly logical, but most people don't find God that way, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's paradoxical. But so I also felt like, well, I want to know what God said. And I also was kind of looking for operating instructions for the current moment, because, you know, if we are going to survive, and I'm literally in that existential place of not knowing if humanity is going to survive this, certainly we're going to be changed. There have been other times described in the Hebrew Bible when, not in the New Testament, but, you know, no offense to the New Testament, just didn't cover that broad a period of time. But there have been many, not many, but sometimes in the Hebrew Bible where humanity was almost wiped out and God was super clear about why, you know, and what we can do next time to not be wiped out. And so I wanted to know, like, what do we have to do now? Or what can we learn? What can we learn from the flood? What can we learn from the Babylonian exile? What can we learn from, you know, the story of Haman, you know, all of these.
Okay, hang on. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to find out some of the things that Naomi learned. Don't go away. Folks, welcome back. Talking to Naomi Wolf. Naomi, so you reading through the Old Testament, you see these existential threats to humanity, certainly to the Jews, the story of Esther you just mentioned. And so you're yourself trying to process this because you feel like we're in a similar moment. And so just keep going. That's fascinating.
Yeah. So as you know, I don't like secondary sources. I don't trust them. So I wanted to find the earliest Bible translated into English. And it's the Wycliffe Bible, which is very difficult to understand for modern readers. I mean, I can sort of get through it, but I became aware of the Geneva Bible, but I didn't know anything about it. I sent away for it. And it's from 1560. And the more I read about the origins of it politically, the more impressed I was. Basically, and you know much more about this period than I do from your biography of, you know, the great reformer. But basically, this was a group of what we would call Protestants who were hounded out of England. They were not free to practice their religious faith. They assembled in Geneva. I mean, there were little pockets of them all over. Well, not all over, but in various places in Switzerland and in Amsterdam and in the Netherlands. But they congregated and huddled there, and they weren't silenced. You know, they refused to be silenced. They sat and translated the Bible for every English speaker because they believed that in opposition to the Roman Catholic Church at that time, that everyone had the right to read God's word and without intermediaries. And this was very, very, very destabilizing to the Roman Catholic Church and to the state generally, I would say. And so they translated it. And I read Hebrew. I happen to read, you know, 15th and 16th century English typography. It's a skill set. I learned it as a graduate student as part of my requirement for getting what was called an MPhil at that time. And I thought, I will never, ever use this in my life. But in fact, and I also thought I'd never use my Hebrew again in my life. But weirdly, you know, I am not just able to read the Hebrew Bible and read the Geneva Bible and explain it pretty clearly to people in these videos. But I also go back to the Hebrew Bible at Chabad.org, the Tanakh, and I'm lucky that I can read Hebrew. So I'm really digging and able to access the Hebrew, but also the earliest and it turns out very faithful translation. And the thing that struck me.
So the Geneva Bible, to be clear, folks, right? This is 40 years before the King James. Now the King James is largely based on the Wycliffe translation, but it is fascinating to me because it's rare that people in my circles would reference the Geneva Bible. And so I was just very interested in your referencing it and the idea that you do think that it is a particularly faithful to the Hebrew translation.
Well, this is what's so incredible. As I began to read it and compare it to the Hebrew, and then I would compare that to the King James Version or to the Jerusalem Bible and other later translations. The later translations were dramatically different in key areas. And I would check the Hebrew and then check the Geneva Bible and then check.
Give us an example of that, because that's what fascinates me.
Yeah. Well, here's one. In Genesis, God is described in later translations as, after he's kind of created everything, he is behind a vault, and the sky around the earth is described as a vault. The vault of the heavens. That's not what it says in Hebrew, and it's not what it says in the Geneva Bible. In Hebrew, the word is shamayim, which just means sky. God is in the sky. You know, after he's done with creation, he's in the sky. You can see him there. He can see you. He's right there in creation. As opposed to, and even in kind of this 16th and 17th century, there are these famous kind of woodcuts where, you know, God is like this old man behind a vault, and the vault is like this rock solid thing around the earth, like locking away the earth from God.
That Adamantine sphere. I've seen these woodcuts. Yeah. Isn't it fascinating though how connotation is so important? I mean, it becomes a thing. It just becomes just the way the word is bent in a certain direction, and then it becomes solidified in a sense into a whole understanding that's just not right.
Totally. And what I really want to headline is that consistently the mistranslations and the blurrings of meaning later serve to misrepresent God as punitive, judgmental, irrational, kind of unreliable emotionally, distant, abstract, unlike us, and to foreground the intermediary and the role of ritual and, you know, the priestly intermediary. Whereas in the original, consistently the things that are blurred later, right, are that God is a totally different character, and that character is like super novelistically likable, you know, like very quirky, very human, right? Constantly wanting to be close to us, wanting in a human way to be close to us, constantly showing up to help, support, counsel, encourage ordinary people in his own presence, right? Not through an intermediary, in his own presence. His own presence gets written out over and over of the text. And so this is the mind-blowing thing. He is like us. I mean, my latest Substack is, do we quote unquote resemble God? Because in the original text, this is not like 400 years of misrepresenting God's actual character, you know, derives from these later translations, because he's a totally different guy, right? So, and I guess what I would say is, in the original, he's someone that you would want to hang out with. You know, you believe that you are family members. You believe that he has your best interests at heart, that he's your friend. You know, he's likable, so human. So another example is, you know, in Genesis, you know, let us make man in our image and likeness. Well, that's often represented as if, and certainly in the later translations I read, it's represented as if, you know, Adam's just lying there and God is just creating a stamp of goddish like, you know, iconography on this human clay.
We're going to go to another break here. This is heavy stuff, folks. I hope you're tracking. This is wonderful. We'll be right back with Naomi Wolf. Talking to Naomi Wolf. Okay, Naomi, you're talking about a lot of interesting stuff. You were just referencing right in the beginning of Genesis, as God creates us in his image, you're right. Saying that most translations, there's a kind of connotation there that's different from what you say the Hebrew actually says. So what is the nuance that we're missing?
Absolutely. So it's usually translated image and likeness, right? Both of which are visual. So, okay, like, you know, human beings are like a little representation of God physically, maybe, you know.
God's like the gingerbread man.
Right, exactly. But it's very much communicated as, you know, God just shaping this inert clay into his image. Right. But domé, so, you know, nase Adam, Ketzalmenu ubidmutenu. So matzlema, tselem, the root of that is indeed likeness. And the modern Hebrew is matzlema as a camera. So that's accurately translated. But dome kidmutenu, like in our dmut, right? It also means resemblance. Like when a baby is born, people say, oh, hayelet ze dome la abba shelo, this boy resembles his father, or hayalda zot doma laima, this girl resembles her mother. So it actually has the resonance of, let's make this creature to resemble us, to be like of our emotional substance, of our, like all the things God is in the original that he isn't in later translations, like, you know, I don't say emotionally needy, but yeah, needing connection, right? Like,
well, it cuts both ways, right? We're talking about God is a person.
God is a person.
And so when you think of God as a person and he created us in his image, and obviously you can get that wrong in both directions. You can turn God into something, you know, an energy force, an intelligence. And you say, well, we're people, but he's God. And that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says he is a person who created us in his image, dramatically like him. Obviously, we're not omniscient or any of those things. Nonetheless, somehow we've lost that. And I'm just fascinated. So keep going.
Well, I can't say that I found that it says he's a person. I'm saying that he acts like a person in the original, but in many ways that he doesn't in later translations. But I guess what I'm stressing is domé is like he's creating a member of his family who is on an emotional continuum with him, who is connected to him in a resonant way. So it's not this passive recipient of an imprint, a stamp that is then breathed into life. It's like, you know, I want a child, you know, I want a family. That's what it feels like in the original, right? And that's, you know, I want someone like me. I want someone to-
That right there, that's really a beautiful way to put it. Because I mean, I've heard all of this stuff and often said quite right, but it can be said wrongly as well. And a lot of people have picked up this wrong idea, but the idea that God loves us and that he wanted to create us in the same way that a mother and father want a child to love it's dramatically different than just like I created some animals and then I created one more that looks like me. Exactly. No. Exactly. Where we can love the animals, but not the way we love our children. It's a different thing. Because we're just like them and they are like us. And we have this emotional, complex, emotional relationship, which is beautiful. And that is often lost. So I'm just fascinated by the idea that the Geneva Bible somehow does not screw that up. Oh, right. I'm sorry. Going to another break. In hour two, we will continue the conversation with Naomi Wolf. Don't go away.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.